All right. Good morning again. Merry Christmas Eve. Is that where we're at? Three Eves? Merry Christmas Eve. I think that's where we're at. Yeah. As one of my kids told me, they're growing in their affection for bad dad jokes as well. They said, What did Adam tell Eve on the day of Christmas was Merry Christmas Eve. It's pretty bad. Anyway, welcome, and hope that you're enjoying a season of relationship and a little bit of time off in some way, shape, or form. We are just kind of unpacking what are these gifts of Christmas that God has given us across cultures, across time. What is it that transcends it all for us to give to this world? But this morning, what I'd love to do is what do we get in Christmas? What do we get? What has God given to us? And how do we dig through all of the peripheral stuff that surrounds all of that? And so we're going to dig into that. But before we do that, wanted to share a video. It's a video from the Scotts in Georgia. So this is a family, Brian and Hallie. They were sent, gosh, now 3 years ago or so, out of our midst to the Caucasus region, which is like South Russia, Georgia, kind of that region of the world, a lot of different peoples there. And recently, Pat and Cindy went and got to do a training with them, the Connect Skills training. Pat's going to share a bit more on that next week probably, and just some stories and pictures. But they wanted to share a video of thanks. A number of you gave care packages and cards. We've been supporting them financially through prayer. They have a monthly Zoom if you'd like to join that just to hear more of what they're doing and how to pray for them to be more updated with the things to be praying for. But they wanted us to share this video, and there's some good pictures and good fun, it seems, that was had.
Hi, Mother's Day family. Thank you so much for the gifts and care packages that you sent to us. Thanks for letting us borrow Penn City for a little bit. It was an amazing blessing for us.
Yeah, we can't express our gratitude enough, guys. We had leaders from four different countries come, and we've already began to get feedback and just see the impact that this Connect training has had on these leaders. So, yeah, we just want to say Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for the way that you reach out and love and support us. It has just blown us away this year and your care for our family. So, thank you. And
oh, hey, Zoom. Yeah, so they're on Zoom. They're 8 or 10 hours ahead, so Merry Christmas ahead. And everything that we're doing is obviously it's meant to have these effects, hopefully, the ideal, the target, as we steward these gifts within our own soul, within our own relationships, our own homes, within this community, within the city, and even to the ends of the earth. And so the team that they're with, people from Latin America, a single guy from Singapore, folks from all over the world striving to see the gospel advance in places where it's least known, least shared. And so that's a big part of our heart. Talk a little bit about that actually this morning as well. So This is kind of the theme that we've been going off of, is 1 Peter 2, these gifts. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. He left you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. So he left us an example, not just to look at, left us an example, not just to read about, but left us an example that we might be doing the same exact things, to follow in his footsteps. And so this morning, before we can understand what are we doing following in Jesus' footsteps, do we know what his footsteps are? What were the footsteps that he laid down? What was the importance and the significance of the steps that were taken, that we might be able to follow and imitate in the same way? And so what are these gifts of Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus? Before we run off and say, look, God, look at how much I'm doing. Look at how awesome this is. He goes, is that what the footsteps were? Is that what the example was? And if you're like me, and if you're an American, there's a lot of noise surrounding Christmas, right? There's just a lot of stuff, which is fine. It's become a bigger cultural thing through time. And yet, underneath all that, and we go, man, I just love the gifts of these awesome Christmas movies that are so fun and so great. But, okay, well, I know that's not all that it's about. Is there more? You know, oh, I just love these card games that we get to play with friends and family, that we just sit and we play cards all the time. But I know there's more than that. What's underneath that, you know? And in all of these, none of these are evil, but is it the substance? Is it the footsteps? Did Jesus say, you know, thou shalt play really good card games for 4 hours? What is all of this built on? What is at the heart of all this? A very Hallmark Christmas. Maybe not quite that yet. You know, all these different cultural things surrounding all this. What's underneath all of this cultural world that's around us? And even, I would dare to say, even more than our maybe religious understandings of Christmas, that Christ probably wasn't born in December. The idea, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, if you read closely through the story of the birth of Jesus, it never says there were three wise men. It just says that there were three gifts given. Could have been a whole horde of 50 wise men, which would have gotten Herod's attention a whole lot more. So just even these understandings religiously is at the heart of it. It really is a person. It's the coming of Jesus. It is the baby that is God with us. And my heart this morning is not, again, if you enjoy the Santa Claus or Hallmark movies or all those things, that's fine. But I don't want you to walk away saying, I ate some jam, and man, I just love fresh fruit. Right? Well, one's a derivative of the other, right? Or man, we just cooked up some popcorn. I just love corn farming. Well, you can say that, but it's quite a few steps away to go to Mariana Butte and go, I just love being out in the middle of nowhere in the great outdoors. It's close, but it's not quite that. And so there's these derivatives of the actual substance. And for you this morning and this week, and as you're spending time with playing cards and having Hallmark movies and all those fun things, to at least have some time, wouldn't it seem appropriate to have at least some time saying, this is the substance. This is really the core and the source of all of those things. As I'm enjoying my popcorn, to go, I am so thankful for agriculture and corn farming, and to know the substance of what brings me what I'm now deriving in this way. And so this morning, as we walk through some of these verses that are biblical prophecies written hundreds of years before Christ came. I don't know if you know that. Maybe you've never done like a bigger understanding or fuller breadth study of the timeline of Scripture. So we're going to read a number of verses from Isaiah. These are written 700 years before the birth of Christ. So something that was written in 1300 relating to today, we'd go, that's pretty incredible. The specificity, the amount of not just intellect and know-how, but of precision and of what was really important 700 years, this plan of God unfolding. And I think somebody was already mentioning it today, Edgar, about the time of the gift. The time of the gift. How much God put into this gift to bring his son to earth. So let's read through these together. Isaiah 9. Prophecy written hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. There will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So just looking through this, this is a number of verses, a number of truths laid down, but he's talking about, let's keep the end in mind of what these verses are. It's talking about a son. Because a son, because a child has been born, there's going to be great joy amongst these people, Galilee of the nations. That just seems to be the region, happens to be the region where Jesus' ministry mostly took place. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali basically became that region of Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus' ministry all took place. So now we're knowing this is where God's going to be doing this with this son, with this child. And they're going to see a great light. They're going to have spiritual sight. They're going to have their eyes opened to something amazing. So amazing that, like Daniel said, it's going to increase their joy. The derivative, the source, the substance of what's going on here is going to be cause for great joy. When Christmas comes, as you celebrate this week, I hope, I pray that you can have a chance to just at least reflect on some sort sense of great joy in the midst of the relationships, in the midst of the activities, in the midst of all that's going on. God has opened my eyes to see something of great joy. And that joy is based, this is what I love. Think about this. They're joyful as they are glad when they divide the spoil. So think of a war. Somebody's won. You get to collect all that's been earned and worked for, not by anything that you did. You get to collect the spoil of somebody else's labor, somebody else's of work. To me, that's grace. That's grace. He's saying you get to collect the spoil of God's work for you. He did all the work, and you can have increasing joy as if you're collecting all the work that Jesus did on your behalf. You didn't earn it. You didn't do it. He did it for you. That there's a sense of that your burden has been lifted. It's been completely removed. There's a war that's been over. There's no more garments rolled in blood because of this son. This wonderful counselor. This is the one that, if we just pause and read this, and even coming from maybe some place where maybe you say, I'm still wrestling through belief. The Bible would say that this son coming will be God, mighty God. I mean, if that just doesn't stop you in your tracks, there's this prophecy of this child coming that will be known as God, mighty God, El Gabor, the warrior God. That is just astounding. Coming from a monotheistic Jewish background, there will be this one coming who is known as God. Who could it be but Christ? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it's speaking of this kingdom. So the gifts, this kingdom of walking in Jesus' footsteps, following in his example, as he came to bless the nations, as he came to bless those, not just in Israel, but any outsider, any of those that came, that you get a chance to bless the people of Georgia. You get a chance to bless the people of this world, both locally and across the nations, welcoming the foreigner, praying for the gospel to spread. There's a gift of walking in his footsteps of the kingdom to bring spiritual sight and light to others, to know that this is not a battle of just geopolitical, sociopolitical lines. It's a spiritual battle that God has to do the heavy lifting to unlock our sight and our hearts. And this one, I just keep going back to, is I just hope and pray this week, can you just appreciate the deposit of joy that God intends for you to have beyond the RC cars. And we all have our things as kids that we were longing to always have. And parents, just a reminder that the really cool thing that you bought your kids this year, at some point they will probably say, yeah, I probably don't need that anymore. And what we really give to our kids, what you really pass on, at some point they'll go, I don't know. I had a lot of baseball cards, like a lot. I don't really have many more. So what really passed on? That joy, the burdens cast off, the war is over, the son of royal responsibility has come. And in this gift of God's kingdom, I hope you can see the kingdom is not this far off thing. The kingdom is yet to come, but it is here now. You get to live in the kingdom because Christ came. One of the gifts of Christmas is God's kingdom has come to earth. Do you get to experience that? Do you get to have a wonderful counselor this week with job strains, with relational strains, with financial strains, all that you're going through, your health, whatever it might be? There's a gift for you of a wonderful counselor, a Prince of Peace, where you feel anxious and in conflict, where it feels unsettled and tension. This is not just a gift to look and go, ah, that's really cool, that's possible, but it is a gift to open, to appreciate, to start to use. And I was inspired by Molly's story last week of the Hallelujah chorus, the Handel's Messiah. And I just was in awe. I'm going to have us just listen to, not the whole thing, because it's like 2.5 hours long. Everybody get cozy, because this is going to be a long time. No, I just want us to listen to the Hallelujah chorus, and in the context of where you are. Because there's also this tendency, and maybe you're the first to acknowledge this, maybe you would avoid this. We tend to also kind of gloss over stuff at Christmas time. Like all the hard stuff, we're like, well, yeah, but we got Christmas, you know, and we got ham, and we got pies, and we got all this great stuff, whatever it is that you celebrate with. And just to recognize, to not avoid those hard things right now that's in your life, that you'll go, I'll get back to that the second week of January, you know, to not avoid that right now, but to say God wants to enter into that very thing right now with you. That's where his kingdom wants to invade. That's where his kingdom wants to come. That hard thing. And so as we listen to this, and I put a simplified version of the words because there's a lot of words in it, can you receive this, whether it's physically with open hands, but in your heart with open hands, to say, I receive that Christ has come. Hallelujah. The Lord our God reigns over my relational challenges. He reigns over my financial challenges. He reigns over all that's making life very difficult for me. And I don't gloss over that, and I don't eat another piece of pie, just try to forget all that. He wants to enter into that with me. So if it's helpful for you to close your eyes to just receive this, can you hear God's call towards your heart in this song?
Hallelujah.
Can that sink into your heart right now where you're at? Can that kingdom come? Even right now, can you hear that hallelujah? Jesus' coming means where you're at right now is not the end. He will reign over that. He does reign over that. He is the King of Kings in that. Can you experience those footsteps that he's laying down for you to walk in? That joy of his goodness in that. Just makes me astounded, even just watching how many people were singing that. It was just like, oh, this is awesome. This is just, and then you hear John just trying to describe as best as he can in Revelation, just stadiums upon stadiums upon stadiums of people singing to Jesus. It's just a small foretaste of just the worthiness of what he's done for us to experience that this week. There's more. There's more good news of Christmas, of the gifts. Another prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. One of the names of Jesus that in the greater world, I'm not saying here, but I just don't hear enough of that God is with us. Emmanuel, that is the promise of Jesus. He's not the God up there to say, get off, I need to do the stuff to get him off my back. Make sure I do enough things to check the boxes so that somehow maybe he's happy. He came to be Emmanuel with you. In that kingdom, he wants to walk with you. Do you experience the presence of Jesus with you in your days and in your weeks? Could you take some time this week to celebrate that gift? That he wants you to walk in those footsteps. That he had relationship with his Father. Constant communication in walking in his guidance, in his counsel, in his love. For this week, what would it look like for you with those challenging places, those pinch points, the trials, the things that you'd rather forget about? There's a gift there for you to walk in. Even the town he was born in, Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And again, I'm not an expert in the first century world or all the history of that. My understanding is that Bethlehem was nothing to really write home about. It was not, you know, Jerusalem. By no means, it wasn't Shiloh. It wasn't any of these historical places where God had done all these different things throughout history. So from the little known to be the King of Kings. Why does Star Wars grip us? Oh man, Luke, he's just on this planet. Who knows what he's going to be? He becomes the most amazing Jedi in all the world. Every story that goes from little to big is whispering what God has actually done. Star Wars is fiction. Lord of the Rings is fiction. But all those stories that grip our heart. Oh, just from the Shire to becoming the one that saves all of Middle Earth? That's an amazing story. It's not true, unless somebody knows how Middle Earth exists. I have not yet seen it. I'm not going and living my life based on that, though it's true. This really happened. Why do those stories just wow us and fill us with awe, fill us with amazement? It's because they're all these things. This is the substance. Can you see the substance? Why is the underdog? Why is that something so great to root for and to look and say, God can use you? Because God himself was that. There's no reason at all. Through the history of humankind, underdogs don't win. That's the way the world tends to work. Those in power go, you stay there, we'll receive all the tribute, we'll receive all the blessings, we'll receive all the whatever. Why is that amazing? It's because God really did it. He really did it. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse and a branch from his roots that shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. As we look not just at the kingdom of Jesus, but we look at what is his ministry? What are the footsteps of the ministry of Jesus? Have you received from Jesus not this transitory, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come, the Spirit would depart. Sometimes they go, whoa, okay, you got the Spirit. Wow. Come upon a prophet. And then it would leave. Do you realize the gift that you get given is not a intermittent Spirit of God? You are sealed with this Spirit. Where in your life do you need wisdom? Where in your life do you seek understanding? Go, boy, it'd just be really good to have a counselor right now. I just really need somebody to counsel me in this really tricky situation that I'm in. It's the Spirit of Jesus. He wants to minister to you in that. Where do you need spiritual power to overcome weakness, to overcome fear, to overcome what holds you down? The Spirit of Jesus wants to minister to those things. And just this idea of from the stump comes a shoot. We're talking with some friends that had traveled to Israel, and they were saying, actually, Nazareth means shoot, means branch. Where Jesus grew up and did ministry is the place where the branch is coming. And there's just all this interwoven. What's the significance of that? Seems like God is like, I don't know if I can even use you, Israel. You are cut off. But my plan all along was through you to still bless the nations. Though you would not follow me, though you would not listen to my voice, though you would not heed the prophets and all that came to me, we're done operating in that deal, in that covenant. Yet I will honor all the promises that I've made in that through this shoot and start a new plan, a new deal. You are part of God's new deal in his ministry to this earth. Can you accept that? Can you go, wow, I see the worth of what God has given me in Christmas, in his ministry towards you. From small introductions comes the ancient saga. God starts that new old plan. Again, where does this gift need not just looking at, but unpacking, using, skillfully applying? The gifts that we can get, I don't know about you, there's times you get gifts, and I got one from a distant family member just recently. I go, I just thank you so much for your heart, and I have absolutely no use at all for what you've given me. I love the affection you're showing towards me. I don't know anything at all how I would ever use, you know, a gun rack. What am I going to do with a gun rack? No, but there's gifts, and God goes, this is what you need. It is very helpful, and it is exactly why we're looking at all the other things that we are spending our money on, which can be helpful when he goes, it's right here. It's right here. He's going to judge the world not on opinions or moods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the different judgment that's in this world. He will judge righteously. He will judge with equity. And it won't change every 4 years. It won't change every 10 years. It won't change every 50 years. He will judge rightly. All of it held up by his faithfulness. Lastly, so we have the gifts of Jesus' kingdom, the gifts of his ministry. Do you see the gift of his plan? And I've mentioned this numerous times already. How much time, like Edgar was saying, how much time that this plan took to enact, to come to fruition. What you and I inherit, and maybe as parents you've done this before where you're like, you know, back in my day, my phone had a little line tied to it, and I couldn't just walk anywhere I wanted. All these things where you go, do you know how much you're inheriting in the 21st century with internet and all these different things? And we go, do you realize we're in the plan of God, how much you inherit? You're towards the end where you get to see all the faithful promises are true. You're at the end where you go, God's name is being glorified and proclaimed in the nations. And it is spreading to all peoples. Where before we might go, is this going to happen or not? We got to believe it on the beginning. We got to look back and get to see the faithfulness on the end and how his plan is coming about. That though still the vision awaits its appointed time, it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. How many times have I said, God, I'd really like it if you did what I need you to do sooner, now. Give me patience and give it to me now. Right? He goes, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I'm working it. Work with me. When the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time, another translation says, at just the right time. And we could go in, I don't know all the details, but we could go into even just historically, the fact that Jesus came to a world that spoke predominantly Greek and Latin, with roads built, with economy and a peace in that kingdom so that the gospel could spread at just the right time. God knew what he was doing for when Christ came. God knows what he's doing right now. Why hasn't Jesus come back sooner? Partly because the nations need to hear. There's still work to do, but there's a plan. Part of Christmas, I hope you could look back and say, all the things that I feel impatient about, that God's missed me on, the things that he's glossing over, Christmas tells me he hasn't. They waited 700 years for those promises, sometimes more longer, and he was faithful. Those places where you go, is he going to come through? Christmas says, yeah, he is. And we can know it. And it's hard, and it's waiting. It's much longer than our timeline of what we would want. But he did those. He came at the fullness of time, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. If it would help you at some point just to open up and just to see the expanse of what God's time frame is. One of those things that we get as inheritors of the 21st century is almost instantaneous everything, right? To the point where we can go, hey, remember Blockbuster? Like you had to like drive to this place to rent a movie, and then maybe they didn't even have the movie you wanted, and then you had to come home, and then 2 days later you had to take, and we just got everything so quickly, so streaming, so fast. See this timeline of what God has spoken in this world. In Isaiah and Habakkuk, these two books that we've primarily been looking at, hundreds and hundreds of years. And as a culture, can we come out and just say, confess, Lord, our culture has conditioned us to be impatient. Our culture, Lord, we confess we want everything that you could ever do right now. Help us to wait. Help us to be eager for you, no matter what that looks like. In this plan, these footsteps of Jesus, did you know Jesus told us what Christmas is about? Literally, he explicitly said, he didn't say Christmas, but he literally said, this is why I was born. Any ideas of, and it doesn't include the words Hallmark, doesn't include the words elf. Pilate said, you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. To build your life, that substance for your life to be built upon. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Christmas is about knowing there's truth. And it's not all relative. And it's not all everybody gets to choose whatever they want. There's truth, capital T. Whether I like it or not, the sun exists, whether I like the sun or not. It doesn't care about my emotional state. It's true. And Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. He is the truth. So how do you anchor yourself this week in Christmas? How do you anchor yourself as you think about the coming new year, as you think about time that you're going to have? You get to walk in footsteps that are anchored to truth. That's a gift to your soul. Certainty. Assurance. What I'm doing has eternal significance. the points that I'm scoring in this online game are probably not eternally significant. But I know the truth of what is eternally significant. I can walk in those footsteps. I can have surety and certainty in all of those things. And so as we keep saying, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear, and mostly to follow Jesus' example. Follow in his footsteps. So this week, as you walk away, I'd love to just give you three practicals. Could you walk in some way, shape, or form, sometime, to receive the gifts? First, receive the gifts of joy. I so appreciate your honesty, Daniel, just saying, I don't know, this joy, I got work to do, I want to stir it up. Would there be gifts that you need to take off the shelf and say, God has given that to me, I've already got it, am I using it? Is it something that's in my life? To open them, to use them. Do you see the worth of the gift that you've been given, the Holy Spirit? You've been given the Spirit of counsel and power and understanding and wisdom. Are you using that relationship, that gift that God has given you, if you're in him? Can you receive the relationship of the baby, son, the son of royal responsibility? Maybe you've had something like this happen to you. I was driving this last week, and I could tell the person behind me that was driving wanted me to go a lot faster than I was going. Somehow there's these cues that are given off. And so I'm like, well, I'm not like the perfect driver, but I'm going moderately what I would consider reasonable. And they're very itching to get where they're going. And as we go down First Street, you know, turn on the blinker to go into my neighborhood, and it's like, soon I think they realize, like, oh, we're going kind of to the same place. And so then they kind of, as we enter the neighborhood, it's like, there's this more reasonable space behind me. Oh, you're like one of my neighbors. Like, that becomes different. You're not just an interruption to what I want to do. You've become a person. And I've done the same exact thing, right? Where I'm itching to go somewhere. Oh, I've been tailgating Pat or something like that. And it changes when something becomes personal to you. It goes from you're an object to get out of my way, I've got things to do, to oh, you're my neighbor. You're a person. And Jesus is that. In all of the hubbub of this week, as you go, oh, just got to get through this stuff and do these things so we can do all this stuff, go, oh, Jesus, he's the person. He's turning into this cul-de-sac with us. Okay, maybe this isn't just a thing. This is a person. This is a person that he wants to draw near to me in, to be God with us, God with me. Lastly, can you receive that call? If Jesus thought it was important to tell us why he was born and what Christmas is all about, to testify to the truth, can you receive that call to be a student, to be an obeyer, someone who does the truth? If it was important enough for him, not just as he was born to do that, as he was about to die before Pilate said, this is why I was born, to testify to the truth. Gosh, that must be pretty important for us. Can we receive that call to be students of truth, to be those that seek truth, to be disciples who want truth, to wait with hope in all of what is going on, both our ultimate hope of Christ's return, all the little precious hopes that you have with your family, with your work, with your life, to wait for that based on his truth. And that'd be my hope and prayer as we pray this morning. You can cut through and see what is the substance. We're not just eating popcorn without knowing where's this coming from. All of what's going to commence, and it should, and enjoy all the feasting, and enjoy all the card games, and enjoy all of whatever you're going to celebrate with, but to say, we've got the substance. I'm building my life on something that will eternally last, based on Jesus, based on this person, in his kingdom, in his ministry. That's my hope and prayer for us. So Jesus, we do thank you that you're real, you're with us right now, and even as we go into this week, I pray that we would sense your joy. Lord, would you give us a chance this week to not just give a nod or a wink towards living in your joy, but to really, if it has gone missing, to cry out and to ask you for that, to return that, to experience the joy of being in your presence, to experience the joy of being in others' presence, your ministry to the nations, your ministry of counseling us by your Spirit, all of what you have given, Lord, that we would say, that's not just theory. That's not just stuff that we talk about. That's not just platitudes. That's not just on the middle of a card. That's my life. That's my heart. That's what I wake up thinking about. That's what I go to bed living and experiencing throughout all the course of my life. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you did come, that that's real history. And it's the best story ever. I want to anchor my life more and more in your story and what you've done for us. So thank you for that. We love you for all that you've done. We honor your name in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, Merry Christmas.